The following sermon was delivered by Rabbi Joshua Davidson on Saturday, August 8th, 2015.
Jewish tradition teaches that the mystics, as they sought to draw near to God, would pass through a series of 50 gates. At each gate, their faith would be strengthened for the journey ahead toward the divine. Our tradition also teaches, though, that one shouldn't proceed too quickly along this journey, and one should never travel it alone. Nonetheless, a disciple of Rabbi Baruch of Mezhibuzj did take the journey alone and did travel it too quickly. Approaching each gate, he would rush through it toward the next, until finally he stood before the 50th gate, utterly terrified of what might lay behind him. And in his terror, he isolated himself, separated himself from all of the other Hasidim. Rabbi Baruch noted his absence and went in search of him, and found him in his home, trembling, utterly alone. And Rabbi Baruch looked at this man who had been his disciple and said, "I know where you stand, for I have stood there too. Before you stands the 50th gate. Behind it lies the future, uncertainty, questions to which there are no human answers." The young man looked at the Rebbe and said, "Rebbe, you have seen into my soul. What shall I do? Shall I return to the first gate?" And the rabbi said, "It's too late for that. No, instead you must turn in faith to the gate that stands before you, the same faith that brought you this far. It is true that beyond the gate lies uncertainty, doubt that might consume you. But beyond it also lies faith. And if you go forward in faith, you will survive that doubt and uncertainty." A very profound story, powerful, speaking to us about how each of us approaches the future. The future is filled with uncertainty. We cannot know what tomorrow brings. We can either be consumed by doubt, or we can be buoyed by faith. I'll return to the story in a moment. But now I'd like us to turn to this week's Parasha Ekev, which Rabbi Tick so beautifully chanted. And she noted that it is truly a challenging parasha, the verses that she read certainly. Because in them, Moses speaks to the Israelites of the command that they should utterly wipe out the Canaanites that dwell in the land. Difficult verses for us to read, particularly in light of recent events, because it is that biblical ideology which inspires the Jewish extremism that results in such acts as the arson attack on that Palestinian home in Douma that killed that 18-month-old child last week, and sadly, just overnight, his father, too, succumbed to his injuries. It is a challenge with which the Israeli government must deal. It's not, however, my topic for this morning. Rather, I would seek to find something life-affirming in the passage, because we know that all Torah's paths are peace, and with the help of the rabbis, I believe we can find that life-affirming message. Let's turn to the Torah itself. On your handout, on the back, Parashat Ekev, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 16 through 19. And I'll read and invite you to follow along. "You shall destroy," literally consume, "all the peoples that Adonai your God delivers to you, showing them no pity. And you shall not worship their gods, for that would be a snare to you. Perhaps you may say to yourself, 'These nations are more numerous than we. How can we dispossess them?' You need have no fear of them. You have but to bear in mind what Adonai your God did to Pharaoh and all the Egyptians, the wondrous acts that you saw with your own eyes, the signs and the portents, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which Adonai your God liberated you. Thus will Adonai your God do to all the peoples you now fear. So I ask you, and I really do want you to answer, what is it that Moses worried the people might say to themselves? We came all this way, and now we have this challenge. How can we possibly overcome the people that live in the land? Now, why does Moses feel they might ask that question? On what grounds does he suspect that they might have this concern? Right. This isn't the first time that the Israelites have doubted. They've doubted God's power, and they've doubted their ability to overcome the inhabitants of the land. They've doubted before. And in Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 to 33, you see the expression of that very doubt. Caleb hushed the people before Moses and said, "Let us by all means go up, and we shall gain possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We cannot attack that people, for it is stronger than we." Thus they spread calumnies among the Israelites about the land they had scouted, saying, "The country that we traversed and scouted is one that consumes its settlers. All the people that we saw in it are men of great size. We saw the Nephilim there." The Anakites are part of the Nephilim. "And we looked like grasshoppers to ourselves, so we must have looked to them." The Nephilim, the Anakites, are superhuman figures, demigods perhaps, mythical figures. What story is this text from? Right, it's from the story of the scouts, the 12 scouts that are sent into the land, two of them optimists, Caleb and Joshua, 10 of them pessimists, exactly. And what's the link between this passage and the one we read from this week's parasha? Beyond the thematic link, there's a linguistic link. I gave you a hint, I highlighted it. Consume, right. Consume is a translation of the Hebrew verb achal, which literally means to eat. Moses uses the same language that they had used 40 years before. 40 years before, they had said, "The people are going to consume us." And Moses now says, "No, you, in fact, are going to consume them. What you feared they would do to you, you, in fact, will do." This is a reading at the pshat, the literal level, filled with difficulty, as we've acknowledged. But the rabbi said we read Torah at a variety of different levels. One of them was called the remez, the allegorical level. Remez means hint. And the rabbis say that everything in Torah actually hints at another meaning, often a much deeper personal meaning, one that we can all relate to, one that gives us some spiritual message. So now we turn to Rabbi Morris Adler for that remez, that more personal meaning to which we hopefully can relate. The land of promise was not merely a geographical acquisition, not merely the name of a place. It represents their future. So the promised land wasn't just the promised land. The promised land was the future. And if the promised land is the future, then I would suggest this is a passage which can have great relevance to all of us. All of us, at one point or another, are consumed by doubt about what the future might hold. Doubt which holds us back, particularly when the present or the past have been difficult. We see the world through a lens which is ground by our own experience. And if our own experience has been one of disappointment or pain or loss, relationships which have failed, work which has not been satisfying, educational journeys which have been less than inspiring, we feel as if perhaps the future can't bring anything better. The Israelites knew only of slavery in Egypt. For them to envision a future of freedom may have been impossible. And yet, it needn't be. If we muster the courage to go through the gate with faith, the future can, in fact, be brighter than the past. Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav understood. "The whole world is a very narrow bridge," he wrote. "The important thing is not to be afraid." Nachman understands that it's our human nature to focus on the narrowness of the bridge and the fear of falling, instead of the very fact of the bridge itself, the fact that a path forward does exist. We just have to have the courage to travel. At some point, each of us stands where Rabbi Baruch's Talmid stood, on this side of the gate, on this side of the bridge. The challenge is not to be consumed by fear and doubt, but instead to move forward with hope and faith that the future can, in fact, be brighter than the past. So may it be for each and every one of us. Amen.